Welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, the WDIY program presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. I want to welcome our co-host, Becky Bradley, the Executive Director of the Planning Commission, as well as Matt Assad, its Managing Editor. Thanks for joining us.
Good evening.
So for tonight's show, we'll be talking about planning to build electric vehicle charging stations in communities across the Lehigh Valley. Our guests will be Lehigh Valley Planning Commission Transportation Planner Evan Gardy, who is leading a public outreach campaign to determine the best places to install electric vehicle charging stations, hopefully in a neighborhood near you. Evan arrived at the LVPC in 2023 and has helped in developing the region's $4.4 billion long-range transportation plan and the current $633 million plan to maintain and enhance the Lehigh Valley's roads, bridges, trails, and transit. He was instrumental in a walk audit program designed to make the region's most troublesome intersections safer for pedestrians and bicyclists. A graduate of Westchester University with a degree in urban and environmental planning, he's an expert in alternative transportation and developing environmentally friendly transportation options. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So Matt, we're going to start with you. EVs, electric vehicles, are becoming a lot more popular. How does this factor into the average consumer who is considering buying an electric car?
So they are becoming more popular. I think we have several staff members here that either have an EV or a plug-in hybrid. I looked it up. I think 1.3 million were sold last year, and it goes up every single year. You know, but the biggest hurdle to people considering electric is the range anxiety. They worry they're going to be stranded on the road. So when they consider about buying a car, they have to figure, can this be my only car? So this is kind of all about that. This is kind of curing that range anxiety so that folks can feel confident to buy a car, basically planning out the infrastructure so that, you know, there's a charging station wherever you need them.
Great. So, Becky, can you talk about how all of this fits into the region's master plan, Future LV?
Sure. So Future LV has a couple of distinct policy guidance points that support basically improvement of the region's air quality. And reduction of transportation-related emissions is a big component of that. A whole bunch of things are, including making sure we have greener freight transportation, more options for walking and biking. But electric vehicle technology and deployment of electric vehicles goes a long way to making sure that our infrastructure is greener and that it has these co-benefits like better air quality. As we know, we don't have very good air quality. And so one of the things that we need to focus on is ways that we can improve it. And everybody can do their part, right? So if they have the opportunity and the option to purchase an electric vehicle, that might be something that they could consider. It also, you know, helps reduce costs, at least right now, for charging. Electric vehicle charging is cheaper than buying gasoline. So there's cost savings that then can be put into other aspects of people's lives as well. So there's all of these positive benefits or co-benefits of electric vehicle ownership. And that in general is supported by Future LV, the regional plan, which I also want to note is adopted by both counties and is part of their environmental management, as well as land use management, environmental protection, economic development strategy as well.
Right. So, Evan, I seem to recall there was a PennDOT plan to locate charging stations near interstates and exits. Is this part of that plan?
Yes and no. The plan was kind of born out of the federal initiative under the Infrastructure Investments and Jobs Act, which was released in 2021. And that's kind of split into five separate phases. So the phase that we're focusing on currently is phase three. And that's our community charging, which we'll talk more about in a little bit. But the first part of that program was the development of an alternative fuel corridor network. And that was that PennDOT plan that you had just mentioned. And those are to invest in charging locations along our major corridors, such as I-476 and I-78 here in the Lehigh Valley. So that was that phase one PennDOT plan, as you mentioned.
Now, do you have a number of how many charging stations we have currently in the Lehigh Valley?
I do not have that off the top of my life. Yes, there is a lot. Part of that phase one plan, there are two locations, one off of I-476 and one off of I-78. Part of that phase is to make sure that we have charging stations at least 1 mile away from an exit. So that's the Allentown exit for I-476 and nearby I-78.
They exist in a lot of places, though. A lot of shopping, mall, parking lots.
A lot of private companies have invested in electric vehicle charging in their parking lots, and we don't have a full inventory of that every time a private entity invests in that.
But like almost all, I think at this point, of the car dealerships have electric vehicle charging infrastructure. Gas stations are creating situations where you can charge or put gasoline in your car and go in and get a hoagie. So there's a lot of things happening in the private sector to increase charging. Plus, the people that buy the electric vehicles tend to, if they are a homeowner, to put charging into their home. I think one of the cool things Evan's been working on lately is like, what do you do for community use cases, right? Like if people are in apartments and how do they charge?
In Allentown, when they put up a parking garage, part of their policy is to put a few charging stations in there. So there are some public ones.
Yeah, Bethlehem and
Yes.
Easton are doing the same thing.
Yep.
So,
So, Evan, tell us what you mean by community charging stations. How is this different from the chargers we see now in the community, some of which we just mentioned?
sure. So it's not necessarily different from what we see now in the communities. It's really just looking at where we can expand this infrastructure to give more options to people. It's kind of closing the gaps of where we're seeing kind of a lag in the infrastructure for these electric vehicles.
Would these be free chargers?
So no, most likely not going to be free chargers. So costs vary for electric vehicle chargers, kind of case by case. Public charging stations can be expensive, but the prices vary as well. It kind of is based off of the network the chargers are situated in, such as if a charger's pulling more energy than other users in that grid, it may cost more to charge. It also can vary by the time of day, such as in a peak hour. So let's say rush hour, everybody's getting off of work, going to charge their vehicle. It may actually end up costing more to charge during that time.
They do have some priority places where they want you and others to be looking to put these, right? I mean, there are some targets they want to hit, right?
Yeah, that's the background of this community charging use cases that we're kind of looking at is where can the infrastructure be supported? Where do people really want to see this electric vehicle infrastructure, and where it's needed, where we see lots of people living or working that would need this infrastructure. I think when mentioning free chargers, early in the implementation of electric vehicles, there were cases where there was free charging. And this, I think, was mostly an initiative to get more people to purchase electric vehicles in the beginning as they were becoming more and more prevalent. But now that we see them more of a normalcy, as Matt mentioned earlier, we see more and more every single day, every single year. You don't really see the free charging anywhere anymore.
It's still cheaper than gas, right?
Like I said, it varies case to case based off of the network.
Okay, so not having ever used a charging station, I guess it works similar to gas, getting gas. You have to, put your card in or however you're going to pay for it. What's the cost variable, like how much electricity you're putting into your car?
It varies kind of case to case. There's different types of chargers that also varies. There's different levels. There's levels one, two, and three. A lot of the public charging infrastructure that we see is level two. Those are kind of mostly common, and they'll charge your car. Maybe you'll get 30 miles on your battery in about an hour of charging. You'll see a lot of those at gas stations, and those are cheaper than the level three. Level three, and maybe in an hour your battery is fully charged, but those will often cost a lot because you're pulling a lot more electricity towards your car. So it varies kind of based off of how much electricity is being pulled from the grid. Again, what time of day, if there's a ton of people charging at one time, the cost is going to go up.
Okay.
Most users actually do almost all their charging at home.
Right.
These charging stations are going to be needed for sure as we go out in the future, but they're needed most now to sort of be able to promote this as an option for people that are sort of on the fence.
It's also,
Traveling too.
Traveling.
Long distance traveling is a big one. And I think that's why the first phase of this initiative was to look at our major highways and try and get them, at least every 50 miles close to your exit so that people have the opportunity to travel across the country and not have a fear that they're going to be stranded on the side of a road somewhere with the dead battery in their car.
Right. You want the easy on, easy off stations, right? When you're traveling.
Yeah, and honestly, that's where gas stations for years have tried to locate, right? So it's just another form of fueling. And the interesting thing I think about electric vehicle charging is, gasoline has environmental impacts that are huge. You have to have special contained areas for gasoline spills. There's the flammability issue. There's all these hazards associated with gasoline. And so, when local communities are trying to figure out where gasoline stations can go and how they're going to zone for that, that's been, a critical piece of the conversation for, 100 years at this point, right? But when it comes to electric vehicle charging, they can go in a lot more places because there's electricity everywhere already. And it's a matter of improving distribution of that in certain locations where you have more activity. And so this is a completely different conversation, yet there are some things that make sense to continue. Like, well, hey, if you already have a gasoline station there now, you could do hybrid fueling and locations and turn those to that. But you can also do electric vehicle charging in a parking lot. And I think that's super important that there's more flexibility with charging and more opportunities to build a network through electric vehicle charging than there ever was with gasoline, and doing it more safely in an environmentally respectful way. And that also, by the way, produces more opportunity for business. If you have more places where you can operate, you can generate more revenue. And so there's a definite and strong business case for this as well.
So, Evan, what are some of the challenges to moving this effort into neighborhoods?
As we look at the infrastructure expansion, I think it's important to note, as Becky brought up, the utilities and making sure that the grid is kind of up to standard for all of this new the electricity coming from this infrastructure. Again, going back to the cost, we mentioned home charging. I believe Matt mentioned that. That's typically the cheapest, but that assumes that all people who own an EV are going to have a space for a home charger. So this kind of initiative, this community charging initiative, is looking to also fill in those gaps for people who maybe they live in an apartment and their apartment building has one or two chargers, and they need somewhere to charge because they don't have at-home charging. There's concerns with charging stations taking parking away from a gas-powered vehicle owner. You'll see EV charging spots with gasoline vehicles parked right in them, and then that an EV user cannot use that location to charge. Parking spaces may be reallocated for these chargers, and that can kind of create a butting of heads or tension between people who have EVs and people who don't. The infrastructure in terms of utility is lagging in some places. There's the concern of rural locations. If somebody lives in a rural location and maybe the grid isn't updated enough to support electric vehicle infrastructure, then you're left with these deserts of electric vehicle infrastructure where there might not be miles and miles of charging available. There's a lot to think about.
Yes, definitely. Now, Becky, who pays for building out charging infrastructure?
That's a million-dollar question, right? By and large, this is private sector driven. However, what's really important to know, and I think the UK was really kind of a leader in this space as much as a decade ago. They said, hey, as a government, as a nation, we want to support a variety of fueling types. And so we're going to support deployment of infrastructure that supports electric vehicle charging. And they did. And the private sector invested heavily, including PPL, who has a huge footprint in the UK. That's actually how I heard about it. So having Congress taken the action through the bipartisan infrastructure law to say, you know what? We do think that a variety of fueling opportunities is good for business diversification, as well as these other goals that we have for our country. And because every major vehicle manufacturer in the world has some sort of commitment on some sort of timeline that's, you know, within the next 5 to 15 years to move more towards hybrid and all electric technologies or fuel cells or other things, we want to support that innovation. And that came from the private sector, then to the public sector, and then the public sector supports it, and then you work on the deployment of that. And so really it is a huge opportunity from a policy perspective to support private sector investment. But on top of it, it's a huge opportunity for us to meet these other goals. But at the end of the day, it's the private sector that's deploying this en masse in partnership with the public sector. And where the public sector has made some very strategic investments is in places like along the turnpike, right? So you have a publicly owned road system, limited access. There's pull-offs there where you can, you know, get a soda, fuel your car, fuel your truck. Well, you can also charge in those locations. So you will see some public sector investment. You'll see public sector investment in things like parking decks, in public works facilities, as they have a chance to get cost savings from alternative fueled vehicles. And by the way, it's not just passenger cars. There are all different types of vehicles, including various types of work equipment, even heavy equipment that uses battery technologies that can be charged by plug-in means, so by electric means. Some are more hybrid, some are full electric. So you could have a all electric backhoe, right? So there's all of this innovation and opportunity that's happening right now. And that's just a great component of how we can grow our economy and do it in a little bit more green way, along with our private sector partners.
I was just wondering if Mack Trucks, I thought they had an electric vehicle or
They
truck.
do.
I thought so. And they're
Yeah.
made right here, some of it in the Lehigh Valley.
Yes. In fact, it's one of the coolest kind of success stories, at least in my mind, on the electric vehicle conversation. So Volvo Mack Trucks invented this all-electric trash truck. And they tested it with the New York City Trash Collection Division because it's the largest trash collection division in the whole world. They collect more trash than anybody else, any municipality anywhere in the world. So it turned out to be a smashing success. They're quieter. They could, you know, run their route, then go back and charge, and it saved the city a bunch of money. They worked with Mack Trucks to refine out the equipment and then ordered a whole bunch of them. So, you know, you again, you even have heavy equipment that is going all electric and it's providing benefits in even the densest city in the United States in terms of people and activity. So there's a lot of things happening. Air Products is doing some really cool stuff with fuel cells, which is another form of alternative fueling. And so we are innovating in this space just in our region. So that's also an opportunity to grow the conversation on alternative fueled transportation and equipment. So, you know, it's one of those really exciting times. I mean, we are in the fourth industrial revolution. You should expect to see more innovation in this space. As far as EVs go, they're everywhere. Like 5 years ago, if you saw a Tesla, you were like, whoa, I saw a Tesla, and you get excited about it, right? Like, ooh, wonder who owns that? Like, Wonder how much they paid for it. You have all these questions. Wonder how long they can drive it without charging it. Had all these questions. Now you see all different types of electric vehicles all the time, from, more rare companies like Rivian to more companies that are now every day, from Tesla to Toyota. So that is telling that the public has adopted these as a means to move around. So now we have to have the infrastructure to support it.
Now, if EVs become the dominant vehicle on the road, do we make enough electricity to handle that?
That's a very good question. And I think that's one of the big issues. And it's interesting because the conversation with electric companies is a couple of them that I've talked to is that, look, there's a lot of competition for electricity. What don't we use device-wise now that doesn't re require us to plug it in every day to charge it? So there's more electric usage overall. Then you start throwing in new uses on top of electric vehicles like data centers, which are very, very hungry for electricity. And so if you start to get those types of uses in our region, you're only going to need more and more and more electricity. And I know that was part and parcel to congressional action under the Inflation Reduction, that there would be more investment in innovation of electricity generation through a variety of forms, from more traditional means to micro potential for micronuclear to produce the power we needed to maintain our economy.
Matt, do you think people are ready for a world with no gasoline vehicles?
Of course they're not. But here's the good news. They don't really have to be. I mean, we're still going to have gasoline vehicles for decades to come. Even the most aggressive state, which is California, which I think is trying to phase out, new vehicle sales as of 2035. Even if they can accomplish that, which most people think they can't. Even if they can, that means there's still used gasoline vehicles on the road for decades to come. And that's just one state. I mean, every other state would have to do that. So I know some folks are worried that they're coming for my gas vehicle. They're really not. They're really providing incentives to move to an EV. But anyone who wants to drive a gas vehicle probably can still do it for a long time, for the rest of our lifetimes.
What do you think the hesitancy is in people changing their mindset other than what we talked about at the top of this program, which was the availability of charging stations? What else is a hang up, do you think?
Well, people don't buy cars that often. I mean, some people do, right? But most people are holding on to a car for 10 to 12 years anymore, right? So this is going to be slow. And I think that's it's not necessarily an anxiety. It's like when the range anxiety piece, which is probably the biggest thing, right? But it's that, you just don't buy a car every day. It's a major purchase. So there'll be a slow transition over time. And, some people, like Matt said, they might not want them. And that's okay too. So, like,
I
no
think,
one can force you to spend $50,000
yeah.
on something, right?
I think there are probably some misconceptions too. I think they think, well, it's electricity, it's not fast. I don't know if you've ever been in one of these,
They're zippy.
but man, they're fast. They are, many of them are faster than gasoline vehicles. They
Get
pick up.
out.
Oh, yeah. They're like 0 to 60, super fast, and they're super quiet.
I had a hybrid years ago, and it was slower. And I literally, when I traded it in, I had a lease. I was like, I'm not doing a hybrid again. I need to be able to hit the metal, pedal to the metal.
Yeah, hybrids are different because they basically have two fueling systems, so they're like redundant.
Okay.
Right. And electric, like they seriously test drive one. You'll see. They're pretty incredible. In fact, I have a kind of a funny story. My brother and I went on a trip and we went to pick up the rental car at the airport. And I was driving and I got in and I pushed the button to turn it on and I didn't hear anything. And I'm like, oh, this fucking, it's not turning on. My brother's like, it's an electric vehicle. You can't even hear these things when you turn them on. And it was a small car, and we were like flying around the roads having a grand old time. I was like, you know what? This was not what I expected. And I was pleasantly surprised. And it was a Toyota, and I couldn't believe how fast it was able to go just right out the gate.
Okay.
They
Well,
should have
that's
told me there was
interesting.
no noise when you turned.
Yeah, you can't hear them when they're coming up behind you too, which is kind of freaky.
Yeah, I'm not living that one down. And now that everyone's going to hear this, no one's going to let me let it go. But
Well, I don't think I'd even be allowed to purchase an electric vehicle if it means it goes faster than what my car goes now, because nobody wants to see that on the road. But okay, so to wrap things up here, Evan, what's next? Once we know where these charging stations should go, what happens next?
So, in terms of this program as a whole, we recently hosted a couple workshops with community members, and we put out a survey in the month of May to get their input on where they would like to see this infrastructure expanded. So we are going to kind of take all the data. We got a lot of responses from our communities and kind of put it together. And get kind of a priority location list together of these community use cases where they want to see this infrastructure. And then we work very closely with Pennsylvania Department of Transportation all the time on various things, but we will also be working very closely with them on this initiative. And we're going to kind of take it to them, and they're looking at where infrastructure can be expanded on a statewide lens as well. So, taking a look at it at a regional level, a local level, and also a statewide level, and then ultimately a national level of where our infrastructure needs to be expanded to accommodate this influx of electric vehicles. And as Becky brought up earlier, with Future LV, our regional comprehensive plan, the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, what our next step is, we've been working on preparing for alternative fuel vehicles for years at this point. We implement them in all of our reviews, our plans coming out. We have a regional climate action plan that we're working on currently that has language in it surrounding alternative fuel vehicles. So for our next steps is to just continue to be an advocate for this innovation and the implementation of the infrastructure as we see it growing. We see more and more of them every year, as we said, and we need to make sure we can prepare for them.
Okay, well, I look forward to following this topic, probably on this show in future as these things develop. Thank you, Becky, Matt, and Evan, for your time this evening. You're listening to Plan Lehigh Valley on WDIY 88.1 FM. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell. Have a great evening.